Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Great to hear your voice.
And to hear yours. You doing good?
Fabulously. How about you?
Yeah, yeah. Nothing to complain about.
Okay.
It's not that I'm not complaining, because as we know, I am perfectly willing to complain at any point. But I have nothing to complain about, so there we have it.
And how's the farm?
Oh, the farm is fabulous. Yeah.
Great.
It's really wonderful. So have we talked about scything?
Tell me. Tell us.
Scything? About scything?
Yes, I've heard a while ago. Yeah.
Yeah, my new passion. I now have my own scythe, and that is my size. My size, scythe. That's tricky to say.
Yes.
And I'm now reading the scythe book and finding that it is generally known to be an addictive process. Once a person starts, they just can't get themselves stopped. And that's where I am. So, yeah, it's good. And it's spring, of course, and so everything is growing. So we have, you know, about 23 and a half acres of grass to scythe.
Wow.
So there's plenty of, plenty of practice as I hone my skills, which, by the way, includes taking care of the scythe. So, you know, I have to learn how to sharpen it and ping it and all of those kinds of things. It's very exciting.
It sounds tremendously exciting.
Yes, come out and see us, and I'll make sure you have a scythe for your visit.
Great. Great. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So before the announcements, I just want to encourage folks to get in the queue tonight to talk with Sherry. And for announcements here, Sherry, this July, join Sangha on retreat at the beautiful Vallombrosa Center in Menlo Park, California, in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
This retreat from July 18th to July 23rd will offer meditation, group sessions, yoga, guidance with you, Sherry, and good vegetarian food, all in a supportive, privileged environment.
And a gorgeous location.
Yes, gorgeous location. Mm-hmm. And spots are limited, so sign up right away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Reflective Listening Buddies offers awareness practitioners unique support. It requires participants to show up for themselves and another every week for 30 minutes. A new quarter begins April 15th. And do you find that your efforts to keep a commitment are sabotaged by conditioning? Our Keeping Commitments Buddy program, also starting April 15th, pairs participants with a buddy for accountability and support. As awareness practitioners, we have the opportunity to practice yoga in the spirit of deepening relationship with the body, moving with attention on the breath, exploring going beyond limitations, and more. Participants in our Yoga for Sangha offering will receive 2 new yoga videos each month for a quarter beginning April 15th. And all proceeds go to Living Compassion in Cantalamba.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders for tonight. If you'd like to talk with Sherry, please press *6 and then 1 to make a show and get in the queue. And a conversation on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes is great. I think we're ready, Sherry.
I feel it. I feel it, Michael.
Okay. Here we go.
Let's do this.
Let's do this. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Sure. One moment. Let me get out of these headphones so I have a better call reception. This is Brad in Maryland.
Hey, Brad. I will say you sound good.
That may sound better. Is that better?
It does sound. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
All right.
You do
great.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't spoken to you guys in the longest time, and I've signed up for the annual retreat, so it's good to be back.
You signed up already for Vallombrosa?
No. For the annual retreat, the big one.
The year-long. Oh, gotcha.
Year-long.
Okay, good.
But I just heard about the other one tonight, so if I don't have to be at work at that particular
Brad,
time.
You are speedy.
I need to get in on it. Right on. No.
Okay.
Not that quick.
All right.
Listen, I wanted to talk to you. You know, the last time I saw you in person, I said to myself, a good goal of self-care for turning 55 would be to try to get in the best shape of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing this online fitness competition thing where people try to go from point A to point B. And although it's a competition of sorts, it is more of a matter of people trying to support themselves, having better habits to get in better condition. You know, So I have been diligently keeping those commitments of fitness for the past 2 months. And I felt like I kind of left ego in the dust to the point of how consistent I was being with what I was doing. And recently, because of how much I've been doing, it seems like the body has rebelled this past week and said, slow down just for a week. And in doing that, I noticed that the voices now have like caught back up with me. You know, they're expressing doubt in what I've done. You lost weight too fast. You didn't do this right. What if you can't finish this thing? And I'm like, oh God, here we are. You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, I was just so focused on what I was doing, it just didn't give a chance to have any of that stuff happen. You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask you this. Does it have to be either or?
Well, that's
very,
go ahead.
You know what I mean. You know what I mean, right?
Well, don't put it in a duality.
Yeah. So either you're going to go so all out that you wear yourself out instead of getting stronger and that sort of thing. It sounds like you've kind of crossed a threshold into it's not supporting your body any longer. You're losing too much weight. I mean, if the voices are correct about this, I don't know, of course.
Right.
But slowing down is not stopping.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's just a matter of not wanting to resume what I was doing. It's just giving myself a breather here and being okay with that, you know?
Yes, and usually, again, so if I run 10 miles a day and I get to the point where I'm tired for whatever combination of reasons, right, I'm tired, I don't have to stop running altogether.
Right.
I can jog for 2 miles.
Right.
Yeah. And the point, of course, that we're going for here is we are not letting the voices determine what we do. We're going to look to something deeper, a la the year-long retreat, right? We're going to look for deeper a deeper sense of what is so than the voices saying, now look what you've done, and you better not, and blah, blah, blah. And
well, the irony is, those
a bag
voices
of cookies.
Those voices are what wanted me not to start any of this to begin with, you know.
Exactly so.
Those
because
voices,
they wanted to beat you up for turning 55 and not being in good shape.
Yeah. So, you know, once they actually turn that around, you know, they'll take anything and twist it to the point to try to make you suffer. This we know.
Exactly. Exactly so. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And so anyway,
where does it leave you, Brad? What?
Well, I'm doing what's called a diet break right now, where I brought my calories back up to maintenance for a period of a week to let my body acclimate some. And I'm going to get back into the gym tomorrow night, but I'm not going to go real hard. I'm just going to go and see how I feel and then assess it from there with the person that's providing me with some guidance as I do this. So,
Yeah, very, very good.
Yes.
Again, you're stopping to listen to allowed to drop in. Let the still small voice guide you, an intuitive sense guide you, rather than a voice that you know is not on your side, just wants you to fail. Wanted you to fail before you started, while you were going. Now that you're taking a break, its desire is constant. You fail and feel bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and the amazingly, not that it's a matter of results, but I've had faster improvements because this is working at an accelerated rate, but you have to be careful not to spill over that accelerated rate to get to the point that you've worn yourself out, you know.
That's right. And I'm guessing that there is a maintenance program that you're going to go on. Right?
Because, most definitely after this. Yeah. It's just more with the better habits. But, you know, because they make this thing a damn competition, you want to do as best as you can. But, I mean, you can do any of this at a slower pace. But, you know, the irony behind this is, you know, they want to encourage people to do it. They want to make it a competition. But at the same time, what you really should be teaching are just better habits. You know?
Yes.
And that should be the thing that sticks mostly. So
that's right. And that's the part you understand. You also have the piece of there are voices in the head that are trying to sabotage you at every turn. So you have that piece of it, which almost nobody has.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And if I could just mention to you real quick, I have not had one bit of alcohol in my system since the end of December, nor any marijuana since October. And
wow.
Just for me, it was such a struggle, those two things.
Yeah.
But just drinking that led to the first thing. And then beyond that, my suffering has always been over matters of food. So, again, this is just working on those habits to an extent, you know?
Yeah.
And trying not to have ego take over all of it. So, you know.
Well, again, Brad, the good news is you can watch that happen.
Yeah.
If it happens. And it'll be educational.
Yeah.
You will not fall into it for the rest of your life. You will not be defeated. That's all there is to it. You've come too far. You've seen too much.
And then I'm sorry. I was just going to say one last thing. As you know, it always tries to get me with depression. When I start to break out of my comfort zone, when I start to really go up against ego, it always tries to hit me with, well, you're depressed. And I just say to myself, well, okay, I'm depressed today, but I'm still going to do what I've committed to do.
That's exactly right. And just right there, I would encourage you to change the language. Okay?
Yeah.
Ego is depressed.
Yes.
Ego is depressed that you're doing so well.
I'm leaving it. Yes, I'm leaving it.
But
right.
You
leaving
don't need to get into that with it.
Right.
Yeah. It's just like, okay, well, I'm sorry you're depressed. This is my life and this is what I'm doing.
Right on. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for the insight
and
the wisdom.
You are so welcome.
And it was great to talk to you.
And to you, as always.
All right.
Thanks, Brad.
Gusho.
Mm-hmm. Gusho.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Brad. And that was a fabulous way to start the show, Sherry.
Yeah. A lot of enthusiasm, excitement for practice, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the content is what the content is, as Brad is pointing out. But the process of it is everything for us.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Gail in Arizona.
Hey, Gail.
Howdy. I wanted to follow up on the email class from February.
Hmm.
You had...
God, was that just February?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was.
How many years ago was February?
It is just incredible, isn't it? The time is just getting... Anyway, so you had asked me to interview the voice that was saying, what's the point now?
Mm-hmm.
And like Brad, you know, there's that thing about feeling depressed and not taking good care of myself physically with food and alcohol for me. And so I really was looking at that and interviewing, what's the point now? And I found out that if you take away the ego message on that one, you know, that the negativity piece on it,
mm-hmm.
it's actually a real matter-of-fact good question.
Uh-huh.
And it addresses impermanence and change.
Uh-huh. Say a little more about that, Gail.
Well, like you said, you know, it's like people sometimes who are normally enthusiastic for life and stuff get a shock or a loss, and they're kind of like going, okay, life as we know it is now gone, you know, that way,
mm-hmm.
and now what? And mm-hmm. that's where I've been since my husband's accident, you know, last summer. And, you know, he's recovering slowly, but, you know, it's different now. It's you know, we weren't paying attention to the fact it's been 20 years since we did X, or that it's been 10 years since we did Y, because, oh, you know, the knee doesn't work that way anymore, or the shoulder doesn't do that anymore, and, oh, you know, that that's different now, the environment's different now, or they close that area. You know, all the different reasons that we didn't notice that the things we used to do, we haven't
and love.
Mm-hmm. been doing them because it's not the same.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're not the same. It's not the same.
Uh-huh.
You know, that was then. We loved it then. But, and then we're carrying around this idea that we're still going to do that, you know, like this summer, or we're still going to do that next year, or we're still going to, or we should still be able to blah, 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 blah.
So you don't really have to face any of this.
Right, right. You know,
but the depression,
But when you get in a medical accident like that, a medical emergency, it slaps you up the face. Just like you said, life as we know it is different. It's gone. It's different now.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just because of the accident. It's because we didn't notice. Things were changing. You know, every year, every month, every day we get older, and so what's the point of doing XYZ now is
mm-hmm.
something, because it's like, look at, it's a what now question. You know, given the way I am now, given the way we are now, given the way, you know, the woods are now, given the way blah, blah, what it is now. So it made me kind of, once I stripped out the ego self-hate crap in it
mm-hmm.
and just looked at the question matter-of-factly, it's like, oh, well, huh. You know, it's like a giant decluttering, you know, cleaning out the garage kind of thing, spring cleaning opportunity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was just talking with somebody recently about different ways that people are, and that there are people who are interested and curious and growing, and people who aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you just described is that moment of realizing how we all can slide from one category to the other as the years go by.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a time in our lives when everything is new and interesting and exciting, and we want to be a part of it. And then time goes by and we settle into, I don't know, responsibility. You know, maybe you have a family, you've got a career, you've got... And time gets measured differently, right? So it's next summer, or, you know, we're going to do whatever. But then next summer comes, and it's so full of whatever it is that we're already doing. And those changes that you're describing just slowly happen, and
mm-hmm.
we don't notice it. Then something like this really breaks that ability to believe someday we're going to do that.
Yeah.
And now we have to face, here we are, and the odds are really good we're not, unless we change fairly dramatically, which is a wonderful call to attention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there's also the element of the idea of it sounds good, but the actual experience isn't what the idea is, you know. It's and we're picking up, it's like, oh, man, this is really bad. We can't do this now. And it's like, well, you know, the last three times we did that, did we really enjoy it? No.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Yeah. And which brings us to an awareness practice perspective, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because what we begin to realize is nothing is going to bring me enjoyment. I have to bring the enjoyment.
Right.
Right. And when I'm bringing the enjoyment, it doesn't much matter what I'm doing. But if I'm looking for someone or something else to bring that to me, it's going to be a rough old go, because it's rarely, as you pointed out, you know, time after time, I'm told that this is going to be great, and then it isn't, And then I'm just left with disappointment rather than the way you're questioning it. Well, what is going on here that this is happening?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
now the curiosity's back.
Yeah. And the other thing is we're saying is, you know, we're actually having a very fine time. But I think, on a day-to-day basis, I mean, I just can't believe how domestic I'm being and having a great time at it. And, you know, growing up in the 70s with women's lib and everything, I'm not supposed to have this much fun being a housekeeper, you know, and a housewife. It's like this intrusion by ego going, well, you should maybe you could go on a trip. I go, well, yeah, maybe. I'm not feeling a big desire to go on a trip right now. But, but you know, you're missing out. And you know, so it's like trying to convince me. It's like pressure to try to get back on the bandwagon.
Yes, and, yes, the treadmill.
Yeah, and I'm not sure I want to. Well, like you said, I know too much now. It's like I don't think the content that's going to make me any happier than I am right now when I'm having a great time laughing with my husband over some silly thing we saw on TV.
Yes.
I mean, how much better does it get?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. I'm happy. I'm happy with myself and someone I love. Really? Do I? where do I want to go?
Yeah, right here at my home, which we've spent 30 years making just the way we like it, with a beloved old dog who would have a hard time traveling, that we don't want to put him in a cage. I mean, what's wrong with right here now?
Oh, my goodness, Gail, what an interesting question. What's wrong with right this here now?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. So, like,
it's going to be hard to get an answer to that.
Yeah, so, like, what's the point, you know, now of doing anything but loving what I've got right here now?
Yeah, loving life. Mm-hmm. That's a good ambition. I'm just going to love life.
Yeah, and and the whole thing about what the day reveals and what's on offer. I mean, really, the whole thing where you were talking about long ago about what's on offer today and what's not, you know, we cause ourselves a lot of suffering by looking for stuff and running after stuff that's not on offer. So that's been a really helpful, well, is that on offer right now? Well, no, not really. We can't really jump up and go traveling right now, you know, because of X, Y, and Z. It's not on offer. So, fine.
So we're not doing that.
Appreciate what is what it. Well, actually, try to find out what is on offer. Recognizing what's on offer, and enjoying that.
You're right. And what you pointed out is on offer every day is loving the life you have.
Yep.
That's on offer every single day, and content be damned.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
So that's my follow up from the email class.
Well, I love it. That makes makes me incredibly happy.
Me too. Me too. Yeah. It was really good guidance. Thank you very much.
You are so very welcome. Thank you for internalizing it and taking it and making this out of it.
There you go.
That's the important part. Yeah.
Well,
all right. Thank you, Gail.
Thank you so much. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Gail. And Sherry, it's time for good news update, and then we'll come back and talk with some more callers.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. And Jen, your guest is now live, and I'll turn it over to you.
All right. Great. Thanks, Michael. And I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Jill, who is here to speak with us about her experience of practicing with transitions. Welcome, Jill.
Hi, Jen.
Hey, thanks for being with us.
Hey. I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
I was just saying thank you for being with us.
Oh. Thank you.
So, yeah, tell us your experience of what you've been practicing with around transitions.
Well, based on the call so far, this is the perfect topic. And maybe because this was the topic, like I'm just hearing so much of how this is a part of my practice and just life in general. I mean, when I first thought of the topic, I thought, you know, I've had all these big changes and big transitions, and, you know, I just wanted to talk a little bit about, I don't know, it just felt like something to that I've been practicing with for the past 3 or 4 years. But then just sitting here on the call, I just went through a little transition from being someone who's listening to the call to being someone who's talking. So I started looking at just in this call, like just, I don't know, transitions seem to be everywhere. And just how the, you know, so if that's the case, then how do I work with them? And it's really just being here, here. And I think the challenge when there is an external transition is that it looks like I'm moving from one thing to another. And so there's this idea of how things should look, how things should be. And so there's practicing with, not looking so much at the external, but just coming back to where I, to Jill, coming back here. And then in these little transitions, like I just experienced, I mean, it was so thrilling, frankly, to know that I was going to have to move from like a person who is listening to a person who was talking and just watch like what was involved in that.
Well, and I love that realization that you're talking about is, you know, so you've been practicing the transitions, you know, big changes in your life over a number of years, and so really been consciously practicing with that, and then listening to the show tonight, having that realization of, wow, actually there are a lot of transitions, like we're kind of actually always in transition, and that sense of, you know, as you were saying that, realizing, you know, those changes, as you said, that people have talked about tonight on the show tend to be the things that wake us up to realizing, wow, I'm spending a lot of the time unconscious, but not realizing I'm unconscious, right? Because things appear to be the same. You know, I wake up at a similar time and I do a similar thing and I go to the same job and I have the same relationships. And so it all seems the same. And so when we're kind of brought to consciousness through something that's suddenly different, it's different enough that it catches our attention, then we're back here for a minute. And we often, you know, the other thing I saw when you said that, Jill, was Sherry often talks about how transitions is where the voices try to get us the most. Mm-hmm. And no wonder, because something's woken us up. And so we can't stay there. We can't stay awake. It's got to start attacking us and pulling us away from that. So what a brilliant thing to realize, well, I'm actually always in transition, and the way I want to practice with that is to be present, to be here.
Yeah. It really is the answer to everything, presence.
When
the content seems to be too big for the idea that presence is the answer to this. That happens to me so much in transitions. And then in this little moment that I had here on the call, it really just sunk in. No, it is the answer. It is the answer to everything.
It really is because, you know, all of the year-long retreat, how could it be too big for presence? Well, because it's so important. Right? But where, we know from our own experience, where is the support going to come from? Where is the insight going to come from? Where is the clarity going to come from?
Yeah.
Nowhere else but the moment.
Yeah, and nowhere else but this instrument of personhood or person, you know? And so I think that's part of the trap too, is that like exactly what you're saying, it seems like the answer is in conditioned mind to find something out there that's more important than presence, basically, is what conditioning is always trying to convince me of. So it's appear, it seems. And yet to just choose, no, here, with this person, stay here. That's it. It's very radical.
It's very radical.
Very radical.
Yeah. And I love the, I think you used the word, did you say exhilarating or exciting? when you're suddenly brought to making that transition of being called forth into the moment. What an amazing thing to approach it that way. Wow, I'm being called into the moment. You know, we think of this like, oh God, this thing happened that I didn't expect. Ooh, I'm being called into the moment. How exhilarating, how exciting.
Yeah, I mean, it's what a life. Yeah. What a life.
Truly.
Truly.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, thank you for being with us to talk about it this afternoon.
Well, thank you for asking and having me, and go happy.
Yeah, go happy. Thanks, Jill.
Thanks, John.
And Michael, we will turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jill, and thank you, Jen. And Jill, I cannot mute you. Oh, looks like she jumped off. Okay, great. And welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
I love that. It's radical.
It's radical.
Right? It is. I mean, we can think that doing awareness practice, you know, I mean, it would have kind of a reputation as being a little on the dull side. Right? Certainly not thrilling or exhilarating or exciting or radical. I mean, that would describe a lot of things, but not just simply paying attention and being present. That's, you know, your cat does that. we guess your cat is present. We don't know, right? But we don't think of it as really something that a human being should strive to be, you know, and to realize that it's the most radical thing a person can do, and yet it is. It absolutely is. And anybody who's tried it knows that. Because that's all we talk about, is what happens to us when we attempt to wake up and be present, and we just, that ton of bricks called egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, just begins to fall upon us.
And fall apart.
Well, fortunately, yes, if we can, as we stay through it, it falls apart and we fall together.
Beautiful. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Mary Jane in New York City.
Hey, Mary Jane.
Hi. Oh, my gosh. Thank you for life for getting me on. Yeah.
Thank you. I needed this tonight.
Oh, my God. I'm at the United Nations, this conference. It's been amazing. I've tried to speak up, and then I had an encounter just tonight. I kind of got this sense, like, don't keep going back to this person, but they basically were from somewhere and said, you're racist and you don't want to admit it. You know, around some history, related to this country they were from, because I had visited there before. And you know, when they're grassroots, like women, I mean, I've never had this happen to me before, but I think it was just like, you know, like that, like I released in the belief workshop, like that I'm a bad person. And then this person's basically like saying that to me, you know. And it was like, okay, that's a belief, right? Like, that's just a story. And maybe there's some truth to, like, there's some stuff I need to look at, you know, because I do want to. But anyway, I'm just a little bit, like, jujitsu-ing how to deal with this.
I mean, so, Mary Jane, first of all, that's really astonishing to me that somebody would conclude that about you, knowing you as I do. but the other thing that strikes me about it is the projection. You know, we just cannot ever lose sight of whatever anybody's got going on is projection. Now, you are doing the very grown-up awareness practice kind of thing with it, which is, well, okay, I want to, you know, it's back to my old friend from the monastery who would say, well, I will certainly look at what you're saying, what of what you're saying is true for me.
Yeah.
I will do that. But I'm not going to accept it, you know, take it whole cloth, that what you are projecting onto me has anything to do with me.
Yeah. Because I only interacted with this person for like 2 minutes, you know. I didn't really, yeah.
Yeah, and yet in 2 minutes, 2 minutes was enough to determine that you are a racist person. Now, mm-hmm. I suppose the place that I'm going to project the place that you went to is, well, I guess we all are to a certain extent.
Mm.
I mean, if that's what's going on, if that's what you want to label
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
So I could go somewhere and I could be around a group of people and I really don't like those people, but it might not have very much, might be a cultural thing, might be a conditioning thing, but it doesn't necessarily equate to racist.
Yeah. I mean, I still probably, maybe there felt like, she's like, oh, you're not seeing this thing, like, and I guess I'm kind of in that, like, how to just, like, not internalize a projection when, like, you think, oh, maybe there's something for me to learn here.
Well, may I?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Again, I applaud your very grown-up spiritual practitioner attitude about this, okay?
Uh-huh.
And I want for you to trust the intelligence that animates to drop that in for you as an insight if there is something for you to learn.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah. Like, oh, mm-hmm. okay, just let that be and like
that's
see.
That's exactly right.
You know, and kind of, I think that part I'm kind of thank God the belief workshop was like, oh, wow, wait, I was just working with this belief, like, I am good. I'm always trying to prove I'm good because there's, like, a story that I'm bad, right? So it's kind of playing mm-hmm. out. And I was mm-hmm. that's what I was liberated from on Sunday, you know? And so I can see that, like, no, I'm a good person. Look, I'm here. And it's like, wait, let's just not live in that world, you know? But I'm still learning how not to live in that world.
Yes. And again, that's where the trust comes in. Right?
Okay.
It just, whatever happened to you on Sunday, what the insight that you got, or the insights that you got, changed you.
Totally.
Right? And,
huge.
And you didn't, and you didn't need to figure something out and feel bad about yourself until you felt better.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. It just kind of emerged and like...
That's right. That's right. At the right time. At the right time, when you were there and open and ready to see it, you saw it, and you changed. You were changed.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can trust that process. That's how you'll learn everything and know that you're learning everything for the rest of your life. Because once you realize that's the process, you'll see it over and over and over. Oh.
Like even right now, I'm just trying to practice, like, because I was trying to figure out how to get out of that I'm bad story. Like, I'd feel it in my solar plexus, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's
mm-hmm.
like, oh, no, I'm here. Like,
that's
breathe.
Right.
Like, just
that's
trust
right.
life to support you and love you, you know?
Yes, exactly, as it does.
And maybe that old story kind of falls away because, you know, it's not true, but you kind of, there's some, you know, you wrote that book, right? There's nothing wrong with you. There's that little tiny bit that buys into it, you know?
Well, here's the thing, and I don't know that this is true, but I've watched it happen so many times, I suspect it might be, okay? So you have a huge insight on Sunday.
Yes.
And on Tuesday or on Monday, whenever it is, you get another chance at the workshop.
Totally. I got my butt kicked. And then it dropped in because it's 8 p.m. that the radio show was on in California or whatever, the West Coast. So it was like, oh, okay. So I got that too.
Exactly. And that's how we're guided. Because, you know, if all of that had happened 2 weeks from now, would you have had the same, would you have been so in touch with that clarity?
That's true.
That could be the context for that to come into. Very possibly not. But life, in its infinite wisdom and exquisite timing, boom, there you are. Here's this person, and here's this accusation, and you get to watch all, the whole thing play out in a very in an expanded awareness that is able to
And it just like just to notice it, and I don't have to like worry about not feeling bad or like buying into it. Just notice.
I'm going to encourage you. You do not have to feel bad about not feeling bad.
worry about trying not to feel bad, right?
Like, yep, none of that
either. We're trying to feel good. See, this is what you liberated me from Sunday, was being good. I'm good at not trying to feel bad, but I want to be good, right? So that's what I was liberated from. It's like, you just are, you know?
You just are. Nothing you can do about it. Just how it is. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly so. And so to get back to the place where you were, now, how did it happen to you? Now, I'm not going to ask you to answer this question, okay?
Okay.
But this is the place to look. How did it happen that suddenly you knew it was 8 o'clock?
That's true.
Right?
I don't know.
I mean, that's the kind of thing that will make us religious.
Yes.
And that will build for us the faith or the trust, right? That you're in good hands. And your whole job is to be present enough to hear that still small voice when it guides you.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. And you were.
Yeah. It did. Yeah. And thank you so much.
You are so welcome. You are so very welcome. Take good care of her.
Okay. I will. Okay.
All right.
There's good stuff happening here. Okay. Thanks.
Oh, good.
Yes. Yeah. Very good. I'll send you an email maybe, but okay. Thanks.
Oh, good. Yeah. Yeah. Please do. Please do.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Take care.
Thanks for joining us, Mary Jane. And that was fabulous, Sherry. And the part at the end there reminded me of you talking about how people will eventually, with practice, give up feeling, you know, that I'm a bad person, but trying to get people to give up that I'm a good person is hard work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It's so fascinating that I can just be a person. I'm just
not even a person. Just be.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That I could just be, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very exciting.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Sherry, it's Sequoia calling.
Hey, Sequoia.
Hey. Oh. I got in the queue because, I got in the queue because the morning show is helping me to see that anytime I don't want to be in the queue, my cup is really full.
Yeah. And, exactly. Yeah.
And
that's a great connection to make, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh. And this morning in the queue, sensations in my body were just so intense that I knew I had to get in the queue again this evening. It was in the good news update, I think, referring to conditioning coming crashing down or some such thing. I feel that that seems to be going on a lot. It just feels an escalation of sensations, and even though there's a wealth of experience of really being in the care of a loving universe and still watching or experiencing that going to a conversation.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like I'm right now, it's just like being kind of up against the wall, like, you know, we're life not giving up.
Sequoia, I have to ask you this. But anyway, I'm either going to ask you if you know this or I'm going to encourage you to do this, okay?
Yes.
Do you remember a movie with, I think it was Lily Tomlin and Steve Martin, where something, and somebody can text if it was somebody else. But anyway, I'm pretty sure it was Steve Martin. I can't remember who the woman was. But somehow they wound up in one body.
Oh.
Okay?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
Yeah,
I
we'll
know.
Find out who it is. It'd be worth it to watch it again, okay?
Okay.
Because I keep having the experience that that's what you're describing. Mm-hmm. Right? There's you inhabiting the body,
uh-huh.
and then there's this ego entity. I'm getting text messages, so probably somebody recalls, who is also now in your, All of Me. It's called All of Me. Okay. Nobody else needs that. Got it. All of Me. There's this other force that's in your body. Right? And you're trying to be here,
uh-huh.
and it's trying to jerk you into some other place, some other reality through this conversation. So it's yammering at you all the time, I'm making the hand motions here, Sequoia.
Uh-huh.
So I just wanted to give you that picture and hope that you'll pursue that picture, because that's what you're describing. There are too many people inhabiting one body. You're plenty to inhabit that body, and this other one has to go.
Wow, that's so helpful, Sherry, because that is the experience. I mean, there's an awareness of really wonderful things going on, and simultaneously. There's this thing.
Yes.
That has a hold of this life.
It's like a body snatcher.
It's almost, as I'm saying that right now, it almost feels like, you know, when it's like a dog grabbing something and just worrying it back and forth. Or just,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
Yeah. And of course, my hope in this conversation is that you will get a clear enough picture of that you will increasingly recognize what is you,
mm-hmm.
and recognize when it feels like you are that chew toy being snapped back and forth in the jaws of that dog. And when it feels like you feel like you, and then those sensations start, and you can feel that alien presence, or lack of presence, I guess it would be, but alien presence is beginning to talk you into letting it share your being.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yes. I definitely, you know, there is a sense of there is, you know, I don't even know how to say it, but there is that sense and experience of being in this, in presence and authenticity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then there is this, and it's right now, it seems to have been going on for an extended period of time, that onslaught.
Feeling like a raggedy chew toy?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty raggedy. Pretty, mm-hmm. pretty darn mm-hmm. raggedy.
And yet, here you are.
Exactly. Which is the evidence of being helped.
Yes.
By something so loving. It it, yeah, yep, mm-hmm. yeah. Even, you know, even when it has me completely convinced that, you know, getting in the queue is just the worst idea in the world, still it happens. And
yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly right. And that's all the proof that we need. Right? That we're okay. And, you know, Sequoia, I know you know this, that one of the things it uses against us is, for God's sake, how long have you been doing this?
Yes.
You know, how can you keep, come on, how many mm-hmm. times have you had a chance to be in a queue and mm-hmm. you're still, yeah, and mm-hmm. the answer is yes.
Yes.
Yes. Isn't that yes. great? I'm still practicing.
Yes, that's the whole, I mean, yes, that whole thing of getting really identified and don't want to look really foolish of the fact that, you know, after practicing this long, I know, which I'm trying to get away from, but, you know, I know what to do and I'm not doing it or whatever it tells me, you know.
Well, that's right. And in that moment, really, because what we're doing is paying attention, practicing mm-hmm. awareness. So mm-hmm. if I know that's happening, can an argument actually be made that I'm not paying attention? That mm-hmm. I'm not practicing awareness if I know that it's happening?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I might be believing that I really, really, really wish it weren't happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We can sympathize with that because it's ever so much more pleasant when it's not. But that's not the same as...
Okay, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I think what I'm hearing is that there's presence and awareness, and that's not a guarantee. Let's see. That, you know, that's a bona fide good time to,
mm-hmm.
you know, if things are hard, being interpreted as hard, and still they're being seen.
That's right.
That doesn't
That's exactly mean, right.
Exactly. That does not mean that there is not attention and presence.
That's right. It's the Daruma doll.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I
mm-hmm.
get knocked down, I bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
I get knocked down,
mm-hmm.
I bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that happens is I get knocked down. The next thing that happens is I bounce back. It's
yeah.
not, right? It's,
yeah.
I'm always coming back.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how many times I get knocked down,
mm-hmm.
I'm always coming back.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. It's a deep, it's a privilege, and it's astounding to be able to have guidance available like this on a Tuesday afternoon.
It's kind of groovy, isn't it?
It's kind of groovy.
All right. Thank you.
I'll go watch a movie.
Oh, yes, do. Yes, yes. You know, you might not have to watch the whole thing, but it will give
okay.
you a visual.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, Thank Sequoia.
You.
Thanks for joining us, Sequoia. And that was a groovy phone call, Sherry. And I think we have time for one more caller here.
All right.
Next caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Next caller, are you there? All right, well, let's go
guess
on to
not.
The next. Guess yeah. not. Let's go on to the next one here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael, it's Jeff in Bellevue. Jeff in Bellevue.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey. Okay, let's see. If we can talk about this in a few minutes. So, common experience to be in the queue, almost always in the queue, and there's usually something that I doesn't want to talk about. So there's this, you know, there's this, oh, there's this process of not wanting to get unmuted that I've watched for so long, and less, over time, slowly, less and less identification with it. But there's still that suffering over that. So that's kind of the general thing. And then this time, what it is related to basically my, in quotes, relationship with a guide or projections onto the guide. And it's something that I've never talked about with you. It's not, I don't think it's that big of a deal, but it's something. And it was triggered this time by a call, I don't know, a few weeks ago in open air, where there was someone who, oh, I was just like, oh, wow, they're just feeling so, so trusting and so happy to talk to Sherry. And I was looking at my, and so that triggered, you know, let me look into my own experience, which I have, and where I'm often feeling like this, I want to be liked, that kind of like that, it's not front and center, but that there's that fear that of, you know, of disapproval. I was looking at it last night, and the more and more I look at it, the more and more I see, like last night was really occurring to me, this is something that's really old. It has nothing to do with Sherry. This is a, right. You know, and I
you had it with
I was
your kindergarten teacher.
Right. I don't know that I did, but I don't really know where it came from, but it's this, anyway, it's, but when I felt the emotion around it, that's when I realized, you know, I suspected, you know, it's, you know, this is about Jeff's conditioning or the conditioning going on in Jeff, but I really, it was so clear when I started feeling the emotion around it. And it occurred to me last night, I haven't had time to do it yet, that this is a, you know, I've started doing interviews. so this is, yeah, oh, this will be the next interview, to interview that person who's just so, so afraid. It's just like I can feel the emotion now. Not that there's anything triggering it, but just except talking about it. Just that really is surprisingly strong of wanting to be liked. And that fear of, you know, this occurred to me that last night, the fear, like I'm going to make some mistake. It's not, this isn't usually, it's not usually to that level, but sometimes, but last night I was aware of, you know, making such a big mistake that I'll be like excommunicated. Like even that's just there just a little bit, you know, like I say it now and I can feel like there's a little part of me that believes that could happen.
Well,
though,
I'm gonna do the thing that probably is gonna reinforce that that feeling. Right?
Oh, okay.
Because I don't think that's you.
Uh-huh.
I think that's ego.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but say more if you could.
Yeah. Okay. So ego has a story of, in this case, I just want to be liked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then once that is established, then everything gets run by that, right? Now ego's got a full-time job, right? Being front and center to decide, was that pleasing? Was that not pleasing? Do they like you? Do they not like you? What was that eyebrow about? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that is, in fact, usually in a spiritual practice, is going to be called out by a teacher. Because that right? And so it's afraid. It's afraid that it's going to be called out. Now, most of the time going around in life with, and you're not the only one who has this going on, okay? But going around in life, it's just there doing its thing, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, and then they think that about you and they don't like you because of that. And I mean, that's universal, okay? I've hardly ever talked to anybody who didn't have that going on. which is one of my obsessions with, you believe a voice in your head knows what other people are thinking. If you were going to do an examination for insanity, you would have just passed it, okay? So the thing about it is, if there's a person there who wants to like, there's the difference. Because your authentic nature is not concerned about being liked. It's concerned about liking.
Uh-huh.
It's not concerned about being loved, because it is love.
Mm.
Its focus is on loving.
Mm-hmm.
You with me?
Yeah. Yes, I think so. So it's, I guess, one thing I hear you saying is, I'm aware of that process going on, I can immediately go, okay, that's not me, that's ego. I don't need to worry about that. All I need to do is turn the attention back to loving, love,
yeah.
Be whatever, just back to the love that I am, the love
that's
that everything
right.
is.
That's right.
This
and
other thing is irrelevant.
It's not going to be love for you.
Mm-hmm.
There's the difference, right? Because ego is all about me, right? All about me. You know, the old joke, you know, we're talking along and I'm talking about myself and then I say to you, well, but enough about me. What do you think of me?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's where ego is, always focused on ego, although in this case, ego calls itself Jeff. Right. And so that's a pass. Right. We accept that because, well, you know, it's talking about Jeff and he has these genuine concerns and blah, blah, blah. But when we're identified with that ego, all of the focus is on me. Right. How am I doing? What's going to happen to me? Do people like me? Do I fit in? Is this am I doing enough? Am I? Yeah. OK. All of those kinds of foci. And so
all of those kind of what?
Foci, focus.
Oh, okay, got it, got it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And once we catch on to that, then we can begin to see that while it seems like a really kind of good / almost noble quality to be so concerned about how I'm affecting other people or how. You know, how people feel about me, or that's, it's completely egocentric.
Mm-hmm.
It's all ego's domain. So when we lose an interest in that, then we start focusing on caring for others, caring for plants and animals and people and life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then there is an unselfishness about us that is very appealing.
Yes, and my experience of what you're talking about is, I think, basically what you already said, I don't care whether other people like me or not, because it's just, it doesn't mean anything. That's irrelevant. I don't need it.
But we have to be careful, because it's I don't need it, and now I is just on the opposite side of the continuum, where I don't care. On this side, I deeply care what people think. On this side, I don't care what people think. Here, I desperately need people. Over here, I don't care about people. I don't need them anyway. Whoop! We're leaving I out of the picture here. We're learning to come from something that isn't I, that isn't an ego identification. It's not about me. I'm starting to look outward and project from what is not ego.
Okay.
All right.
So I'll have that as a koan.
There you go.
Thank you.
And we'll look at it again.
Okay. Great.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff.
Thanks for joining us, Jeff. And that was fabulous. Sherry?
Well, Sonia knows how to have a good time, wouldn't you say?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
So,
all right.
Thank you
so much, Michael. Yeah.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks to everyone. Let's all go happy.
Go happy.